Psalm 146. Praise God. Praise God, O my soul. I will sing praises to God all my life long, making music to my God while I live. Put no trust in princes, in human beings who must die. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed and happy are those who are helped by Jacob's God, whose hope is in Yahweh, who made the heavens, the earth, and the seas, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. God keeps faith forever. God is just to the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, and sets prisoners free. God opens the eyes of the blind. God lifts up those who are bowed down. God loves the righteous. God watches over strangers and upholds the orphan and the widow. God thwarts the path of the wicked. God reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise God. Psalm 146 is an invitation to praise God because of who God is, a God who cares for those who place their trust in him. Blessed and happy, says the psalmist, are those who are helped by Jacob's God. The author of the letter to the Hebrews writes, "Let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That's in Hebrews chapter 4. In verses 7 to 9, the psalmist lists 10 characteristics of God. Firstly, God keeps faith forever. That's verse 7. This means that God will keep all the promises God has ever made to you, to your children, and to the world. We'll never be without God's love, no matter how dark the road may seem. Can we believe this when things are going hard for us? Sometimes we've found ourselves unable to keep promises we have made, and sometimes it's because the promises turned out to be unwisely made. Sometimes circumstances are too complex to unravel. They've simply brought us to exhaustion, and we have had to let promises go. Could we look at the central promises that are still functioning in our lives? Relying on God's grace, could we ask to be more open to the Spirit which God is certainly offering us, to find more effective ways of keeping the promises which we made in baptism and confirmation, to carry on Jesus' mission of love in the world? Praying the psalm with Jesus, we hear his exhortation, one we find in John chapter 14. Believe in God. Believe in me. So that's the first characteristic. God keeps faith forever. The second is verse 7. God is just to the oppressed. If we believe that God executes right judgment for the oppressed, then a lot of people mustn't be listening or responding to grace. If we were, the world would not be such an unjust place. Is God asking me or you to reach out in one or other area of oppression and do what we can, always respecting persons and in love, to put injustices right? Little help is gained by being overwhelmed by a huge list. God is the one who is just to the oppressed. So the real question is God inspiring me or us as a community to do something in a specific area? If so, am I willing to listen and to begin responding? We're mindful of Jesus' words, "Will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them?" Jesus' words found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. A third characteristic of God: God gives food to the hungry. That's verse 7. Praying this with Jesus, we recall the scenes where Jesus gave food to the hungry. We recall also the Last Supper, when, in ritual, Jesus gave himself in such a way that he would always be with us, nourishing a hunger and a thirst that is for more than food and drink. Can we love God without sharing God's longing to reach out to meet people's hunger? For bread, yes. For love, for a listening ear, for dignity, for a place and a home. A fourth characteristic in verse 7 of the psalm: God sets prisoners free. If so many people are locked into racism and prejudice and destructive addictions and inability to forgive, it's not because grace is lacking. It must be because so many are insensitive to grace and failing to respond to the inspiration of God's loving spirit to go out and help unlock the prisons that we create in our fear. God sets prisoners free. We recall Matthew's introduction to Jesus' ministry in Galilee. This is chapter 4. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadows of death, light has dawned. Luke sets out Jesus' agenda in a scene in the Capernaum synagogue. This is Luke chapter 4. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," says Jesus, "because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." God sets prisoners free. A fifth characteristic in verse 8: God opens the eyes of the blind. How often Jesus causes the blind to see, and not just the physically blind. We too think of Paul's enlightenment on the road to Damascus. A sixth characteristic of God: it's verse 8. God lifts up those who are bowed down. We recall Jesus' words as he heals a crippled woman. This is Luke chapter 13. Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day? A seventh characteristic, also in verse 8, God loves the righteous. Jesus made it clear that God loves everyone, including those we might think of as God's enemies. What is special about the righteous is that they welcome God's love, whereas the unrighteous are closed to it. An eighth characteristic of God, in verse 9 of the psalm, God watches over strangers. We think of Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. We think also of Jesus' exhortation in Luke 15:14. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbours, in case they may invite you in return and you'd be repaid. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. God watches over strangers. Praying this psalm with Jesus, we recall Jesus' parable about the ultimate judgment. This is in Matthew chapter 25. The king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and it was you who gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and it was you who visited me." A ninth characteristic of God, in verse 9 we read, God upholds the orphan and the widow. Jesus points to a widow as the one who perfectly exemplifies the essence of what it means to be a disciple. Mark chapter 12 reads, "A poor widow came and put in 2 copper cent pieces into the temple treasury. And Jesus called his disciples and said to them, 'Truly I tell you, this poor widow put in more than all those who've contributed to the treasury.' And why? She gave all she had." And the tenth characteristic of God, expressed in this psalm, God thwarts the path of the wicked. The scene of the repentant thief who was crucified with Jesus reveals God's love for each of us right to the end. But love does not impose itself. Like the thief, we may open our hearts to welcome the love we're offered. The path of sin leads only to death, the death of separation from God. I conclude with verse 10. God, says the psalmist, reigns forever. The book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 15 reads, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever."